Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. It's been 17 years since the 9/11 attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people on U.S. soil. I know I'm thinking today about my own memories from that day, and I'm sure many of you are as well. 9/11 drastically altered the course of this country, and it also altered the lives of many Muslims in the United States forever, changing political affiliation, career aspirations, family dynamics, and beyond. And today we talk to two people who've experienced some of that change, and they want to share that with us. And they're also experts in American-Islamic relations and observers of what this 17-year period has meant for Muslims across the world and in the United States. Shadi Hamid is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and author of the book Islamic Exceptionalism, How the Struggle Over Islam is Reshaping the World. And Zainab Chowdhury is director of Maryland Outreach for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Welcome to you both.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being with us. And so, questions to both of you, and then we can get specific. How did your relationship change with Islam after 9/11? What was it like being a Muslim American during that time?
So I was actually a freshman in college when 9/11 happened, so already a very impressionable time. And I think that before 9/11, you know, I obviously saw myself, as Muslim, but it wasn't something you were super conscious about because most Americans didn't really know much about Islam. They didn't care about it that much because there still wasn't a major national security component. Then 9/11 happens. And I think for us as American Muslims, it's sort of a tragedy in two ways, of course, as Americans, but also as Muslims who are trying to make sense of how could people possibly do this in our name. And for me, it was a formative political moment. Then anti-Muslim sentiment increases afterwards. You have the Bush administration's Patriot Act. Then you have the Iraq War. So you have a chain of events that happen in this very rapid series. And it forced many of us to become more political. And I became more interested in Middle East politics. There was a sense that the relationship between the U.S. and the Middle East was going in a very dangerous direction. And that's part of what actually pushed me to move into the career that I happen to be in right now. So of looking at the role of Islam in politics, of looking at U.S. foreign policy. And I think for many American Muslims, you see that shift of trying to get more involved in American politics and trying to do whatever we can to serve, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but to serve as a bridge between the U.S. and the broader Muslim world and to do whatever we can to play a more constructive role.
To a large degree, I do agree. I remember, 9/11 is one of those moments in history when, everybody remembers where we were, what we were doing at that time. And I think for many American Muslims, we can define our lives as pre-9/11 and post-9/11. I was actually in pharmacy school. I had just started my fall semester of my freshman year in pharmacy school in Baltimore. And I remember, very visceral fear, like the angst amongst our communities. That day specifically, my father had called me while I was sitting in class. And I had just started wearing the headscarf, the hijab, a few months prior. And he immediately, told me, he said, take off your headscarf. And I was shocked and I was like, why should I do that? And he said, we'll talk about it when you get home. Just take off your hijab. And I remember like,
and that's a powerful thing for a father to say. I mean, and you had no idea why.
We were just starting to learn that a plane had hit the Twin Towers in New York. We were just getting information of the attack in Pennsylvania. And we had just learned from our vice dean, associate dean, who had come down to our classroom and told us that class was dismissed and school was going to be closed for the day and we could leave. And so we knew something was going on. We knew that it was serious, but we didn't know at that time exactly you know, what the implications of the of those days and events were going to be. It wasn't until later on when I was at my friend's dorm. She lived across the street from pharmacy school. And I went to her dorm and we were just watching TV. And I remember sitting there on the couch, like, you know, just with a sinking feeling in my heart, thinking that life is never going to be the same again. And sure enough, in the days following that, we saw a spike in anti-Muslim incidents, anti-Muslim bigotry, hate crimes, violence incidents targeting the Sikh American community specifically. There was a murder of a Sikh gas owner, a gas station owner. And I remember that, you know, the climate of suspicion and scrutiny and fear, especially against American Muslims, was something that can't be really articulated properly in words, but it was something that I knew was going to change the course of my life. And sure enough, even though I did go on to complete pharmacy school, there was always this like sense of wanting to do work that would help to, you know, connect the American Muslim community with broader society. I think pre-9/11, many Muslim communities tended to exist in silos. And the tragic events of that day forced many Muslims to kind of break out of our you know, silos and be more vocal and articulate about our narrative and what Islam is, and do a lot of introspection as well, do a lot of research about what our own religion says so that we can explain it well to others and demystify and, you know, break down a lot of the stereotypes that exist about Islam and Muslims.
I'd love to get both of your thoughts on this, because when we'll talk about this a little bit, the current administration in a little bit, but after 9/11, the Bush administration created a foreign policy that basically targeted the broader Muslim world. And I'm wondering what, or made a target out of the broader Muslim world. And I'm wondering whether that had any effect on, as you were mentioning, American Muslim communities here in the United States.
So one effect was that it pushed American Muslims away from the Republican Party towards the Democratic Party. And I know this might be hard to believe now, but my parents, for example, and a plurality of Muslims in 2000 voted for George W. Bush. And there was a real sense that, you know, even some communities, that Muslims should rally around George W. Bush for. You know, and part of that had to do with Muslims seeing themselves as a more socially conservative community. But then after 9/11, the Bush administration becomes associated with these very problematic policies, at least from a Muslim the perspective of many Muslims, with, of course, as I mentioned before, the Patriot Act. The Iraq War was very unpopular among American Muslims generally. And Democrats over time start to portray themselves as, you know, more accepting of American Muslims, just like they're more accepting of a number of other minority communities. And that's a really important realignment, I think, and we're seeing the effects of that to this very day.
And I also want to bring up the current administration, obviously. I'm wondering if either of you can sort of speak to whether or not you think the relationship between 9/11 has impacted, and the Muslim community or the American community writ large, has really influenced where we are today politically, particularly with the election of Donald Trump, particularly given this sort of the brown menace policies, if you will, that have come out of this administration. That's my description for many of the policies that sort of paint communities of color as menacing and threatening.
One thing that we've seen is definitely the normalization of and even the encouragement of bigotry and fear-mongering towards communities of color, including American Muslims, but not just limited to that one community. We saw during the presidential campaign season in 2015 to 2016, you know, for the first time in recent history, where an entire campaign that was based on fear-mongering and inciting bias and hatred towards one faith group specifically was successful in reaching an electorate that helped to elect a president that ran a campaign on demonizing Islam and vilifying Muslims, who openly called for a complete and total shutdown of Muslims entering the United States, who promised to build a wall to protect American interests and to make sure that, you know, Americans were safe, who really ran like this entire campaign that was rooted in demonizing communities of color and specifically American Muslims. And it helped to not only normalize, but also encourage bigotry towards Muslims. And I remember having a conversation immediately after the 2016 presidential election, and many Muslims felt betrayed that we had, our country had in effect elected a president who had promised to do everything that was possibly do to prohibit Muslims from being a vibrant part of society in the United States. And a large part of that is tied into the Islamophobia and the fear-mongering and the bigotry that we've seen in the aftermath of 9/11. However, one thing that is a little bit different is in the aftermath of 9/11, we saw from President Bush, there was this almost immediate kind of sense of distancing the war on terror from Islam. He visited a mosque. He reached out to the Muslim community. He invited Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, who was a prominent scholar at that time, to sit down with him and have conversation. And he made this very concerted effort to kind of distance Islam and Muslims from the campaign on the, or the war on terror, which in theory, on paper, it seemed like it was effective. But in reality, we saw from the spike of hate crimes and bias incidents towards Muslims, one could argue that it might not have been as effective as one would have hoped. But there was that concerted effort to try to distance the terror attacks from the broader Muslim community. And that, in to some degree, did help to control the number of hate crimes and incidents that took place against Muslims. But over the course of the decade following that, with the Patriot Act and with the blanket surveillance of the American Muslim community that incited fear and suspicion and paranoia, unfortunately, that those policies have effectively created this dichotomy where many Muslims have been seen as other, as the other, as second-class citizens, as not worthy of being, seen with equal reverence as other Americans.
This is the 17th anniversary. It's hard to believe there are people who weren't even around when 9/11 happened. And I'm curious what your thoughts are for younger Muslim Americans who are learning about this today and sort of dealing with the ramifications of 9/11 without having even been there.
For younger American Muslims, I think their formative moment's going to be different. It'll be primarily about the Trump administration. And that's negative, as Zainab mentioned, but there's also the positive in the sense that a lot of Muslims are becoming even more politically active. And we just saw two young American Muslim women will be serving in Congress. We saw Abdullah Sayyid running for governor in Michigan. And I think a lot of that has to do with a positive reaction to Trump of Muslims saying, we made some progress since 9/11, but we got to do even more right now.
Shadi Hamid is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Zainab Chowdhury is director of Maryland Outreach for the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Many thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.